thanks so much for being here at JPR. Going back 10 years, members of an Eau Claire band, Diarmid Edison. This was a band that included Justin Vernon and a trio of guys that went on to become Megaphone. Where did that group first come together?
It started in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Those guys, Justin and Brad and Phil from Megaphone, they're all from that area. And I ended up going to college there at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. And met those guys through the music scene and played in that band for like 3 or 4 years. And then those guys ended up wanting to move down south, and I wasn't ready to move south. So I left that project and ended up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is where I live, and where I met these guys.
Yeah, now that band at the time was starting to pick up some traction, and mm-hmm. that was at least one of the reasons for the move to Raleigh.
Yep.
So the band moves, but not you.
Right.
And why does the band choose Raleigh? I mean, that doesn't seem like it's a musical hotbed, per se.
No, it's weird. I think they were just looking for a change of pace. They were feeling kind of that the Midwest, for them, was kind of the safe option, and feeling a little bit stuck in a rut. And so they wanted to shake things up. And I think Brad Cook from Megaphone was the one that sort of guided them down to Carolina. He'd always had sort of an affinity for that part of the country. And so with not a whole lot of prospects, everybody else followed him down there. And I did have some prospects in Wisconsin. I was about to graduate from school, and I was engaged to be married. And so I wasn't ready to uproot. I was ready to put him down. So, so I moved to Milwaukee and kind of tried growing up for a while.
Now, there's an interesting amount of material that kind of comes out during the next 5 or so years from that point until now, which mm-hmm. I want to talk about. Well, let's hear some music to start. What are you going to play for us?
This is a song off of our record called Taking Alcatraz. It's sort of about the Native American occupation of Alcatraz Island in the early 70s. But the narrator in the song didn't go along to be a part of that event. I guess if you look at it through the lens of the conversation you and I were just having, it could be a little bit of reflection on, making choices to go somewhere, do something, or be a part of something that's bigger than yourself, and then choosing not to, and then sort of the weird reflections of that choice. So this is Taking Alcatraz.
It's Field Report live on open air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio.
So Richard Oakes gave me a call from San Francisco late in the fall. And he said it's going down. He said we're gonna take the island as a monument to smallpox blankets and the bureaucrats, and all you gotta do is come along. So you catch a bus tomorrow, and if we die here, well, at least we made a choice. And if we're fine here, we can tell the boys that a line in the sand don't matter if you don't care. That a bird in the hand is worthless if you're too scared. So close. clear my name and clear my throat. Find my voice and hear. Need a place to stand. There's sirens down the street from the third shift bar. I'm gonna park my car in the painted off place where the bikers park. See what happens then. If I die here, well, at least I made a choice. And if I'm fine here, please tell the boys that line in the sand don't matter, you don't care. That a bird in the hand is worthless if you're too sick. My friends keep calling and I don't pick up, 'cause I got nothing to say that I can't just make up anyway. I got all these things to do. And I turned you off on the radio, and when I turn around, it's in a TV show, and I turn that off too. I remember when I knew you. And if I die here, well, at least I made a choice. If I'm fine here, please tell the boys that a line in the sand don't matter, you don't care. That a bird in the hand is worthless, you're too scared. That line in the sand don't matter, you don't care. That a bird in the hand is worthless if you're too scared.
It's Field Report live on open air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming at ijpr.org. The new album also called Field Report. Chris Porterfield, who have you brought in? I think we are setting a new record for the most bodies ever assembled in the JPR studios.
Well, on the keyboards and vocals is Nick Berg. Banging on a guitar case today, we have Damian Striggins and also Ben Lester.
Hello, guys.
To my right, singing here is Travis Whitty.
Hello.
And playing guitar here is Jeff Mitchell.
Welcome to all of you. D'Armond Edison decides to move to Raleigh, North Carolina, and you choose not to go. The band lasts about another year or so and then splits up for numerous reasons. The story has been well-publicized of what happens to Justin Vernon. He goes to a cabin, he writes some songs, and boom, he hits big with a Grammy award. Mm-hmm. The Cooks and Joe Westerlund go on to form Megaphone. They're doing quite well with the band. Mm-hmm. What happens to you? What do you do in that interim period of the next 5 years?
Well, I tried to be a grown person. I got married. I bought a house. I had a job. Got a dog. Had a white picket fence.
Seriously?
For real. I sold all my gear, and that was what I was doing. And then I thought I was done with music, and I guess I wasn't. I'd never really written songs before, and these songs started coming. And so then I would work on those, and and write new songs that were better, and so kill off old songs. And then it was time to start maybe playing them out again, because songs don't exist until somebody else hears them. And so I started going to open mic nights and setting up shows, and then suddenly I kept hearing other things, and I needed to get more people involved in this project, and met Nick, and then Damien, and then Jeff, and then Ben, and everything just sort of kept, there was this bit of energy around the thing, and it kept bringing people together, and the people kept making more energy with this thing, and finally we made a record last winter, and it sounds like more people are hearing this record than we ever thought would hear it. And so we're just kind of trying to keep following the energy and make choices that feel right. And that's where we're at.
Well, the new album's great.
Thank you
just
so much.
Start to finish. Where in the chronology does Conrad Plymouth fit in? This was a band name or an alter ego of you doing these open mics?
Yeah, that was me learning how to write, really. That was sort of getting my writer's legs underneath me without putting too much of myself out there.
Was that a bit of a barrier for you, where you were kind of in a place of saying, I'm done with music, but I'll do this Conrad Plymouth thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was kind of what it was. And that's how it started, and then it kind of just became an umbrella for anything that I was doing solo or with other people, and it just created a lot of uncertainty in ways that was kind of gross. and I'd been wanting to kill him off for a long time. And then finally when the band really started coalescing about this time last year, it was like, we need to make sure that this is its own thing. Like, this isn't just me. This is this specific group of people doing this specific thing on these songs. And so, so we killed off Conrad, thank God. And this project was officially born.
So about a year ago, last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a good 6 months or so leading into what inevitably became kind of your first big break, which is this performance at South by Southwest, which is this huge music festival in Austin. Had you been there before? Had any of you been before?
Yeah. Conrad played down there a couple of years prior. Just one show at some taco place.
Right, but this time around it was a bit of a showcase, right?
Yeah. No, this time around, this is actually where Field Report debuted publicly at South by Southwest. How many shows did we do down there?
Nine.
Really?
I had one solo show, so 10.
Over the course of how many days?
3 days. So we learned a lot real quick. And by the end of the week, we were feeling pretty good, and we had played some good shows. And one of them happened to be a showcase for that Adam Duritz of the band Counting Crows put together.
And he's a big fan of yours.
Yeah, he's been a huge supporter. And we actually went out with them for a month in the summertime. And that was a great learning experience. We learned so much from those guys. They're all super kind and professional and very supportive. Bottom line is this project is still relatively fresh. We're still learning a lot. We're still growing a lot. We've never been a better band than right now, and that's really exciting to see that continue to arc in a really cool way.
Yeah, and things just kind of picked up from South by Southwest on.
Uh-huh.
It's Field Report live on open air on the Rhythm and News Service of JPR, streaming at ijpr.org. The new album is also called Field Report. Chris Porterfield and the rest of the band in the studio. What are you going to play for us now?
We're going to play a song that sounds like you guys have been playing called I'm Not Waiting Anymore.
Fantastic.
God's favorite child and bloodied from the brawl. And this bitterness was killing me all along. I am not waiting anymore. I am not waiting anymore. I've been blowing through time like nickel slots in a windowless room on a credit card. Flash it like a semaphore or a vague drafty metaphor. I am not waiting anymore. I've been a keen-eyed observer of the movements of concentric parts. Of the bodies of bonds and breasts, unmapped chambers of arms. Now the sand in hands been turned to glass, like a Jeroboam filled with a life that's past. You can toss it off the balcony and listen for the crash. I spent 8 long years working on my screenplay. It's a teen movie with young actresses that plays to the middle age. I've read between the lines. I have been wrong every time. Yeah, you burned up on the altar, but I am fine. I am not waiting anymore. I am not waiting.
It's Field Report, live on open air on the Rhythm and News service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming online at ijpr.org. The new album is called Field Report. So, Chris, how much of the music on this new album was already in your catalog from previous bands or previous incarnations?
I think just about all the songs began as Conrad songs or whatever. Not all of them had been recorded as such, but everything came to the table. This particular crop of songs came to the table under the Conrad umbrella, I guess, and then that morphed into Field Report when we got Ben on board and Jeff on board. But I think the oldest one is maybe three years old, I think.
One of the things that's written a lot so far about the sound of this album and the sound of your songwriting is that it is, quote unquote, Midwestern to the core, right? What does that mean to you? I mean, when you see that read or you hear that spoken about, what does that mean? What are you infusing your songs with that is sort of this intangible Midwestern element?
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess there's not a whole lot of, I guess maybe there's a lack of posturing a little bit. That maybe there was a great article, I don't remember where I saw it, but it showed up in my news feed a few weeks ago, about the Brooklynization of music and how that sort of ends up destroying regional music scenes because everybody wants to sound like a Brooklyn band, and if they want to make it, they got to go to Brooklyn and live there. And it's just sort of this inbreeding thing that slowly erodes basically your ability to, it's like genetics, you know, like if you're all dipping from the same gene pool, sooner or later your ability to be reactive against a problem is diminished. And so I think there's a really important tradition of regionalism in American music, because after traveling the country, America's pretty big. It's and it takes a long time to get from places, and you hope that, you know, there's sort of a boots on the ground sort of thing about reacting to your specific environment, and sort of an honesty that happens in that, rather than filtering it through some place that you may or may not have ever, you know. And so I think there's an element to that in what we perceive and sort of wave our flag as Midwestern, in that we're sort of out of, we don't even want to be a part, really, of something that's cool, for lack of a better word.
So do you consider the band a Milwaukee band now, or are you back to some of you guys from Eau Claire?
Ben still lives in Eau Claire, but everybody else lives in Milwaukee. Yeah, and I feel like Milwaukee is home. I mean, it's nice to make friends everywhere, but it's good to go home too, and that's home for this project.
Yeah. I read a really interesting thing about the making of this album, which was that with the exception of you, everyone else in the band was playing like a secondary instrument, right?
Travis, our bass player, was a guitar player first. Ben, our pedal steel player, is a professional touring drummer. Damien, really? Our drummer, was a professional touring bass player. Nick, our keyboard player, is a guitar player first, and Jeff, for our band, plays mostly baritone guitar when he's traditionally like a standard guitar player. And and I think that's something that I kind of realized after the fact, but I think that sort of mindset really lends itself to people taking themselves out of the equation and just listening and servicing the songs first.
So were you looking at musicians or friends of yours that you liked their musicianship but didn't necessarily hear their primary style of playing as being the right fit, but you wanted their musicality?
I wanted people who wanted to play the songs. And that's what these guys all ended up being.
And the new album, Field Report, recorded at Justin Vernon's studio, and a lot of it sort of captured live, right?
Yeah. One of the big reasons that we chose to do it there was because they do have a really big live room. And so we were down and dirty when we were there. We tracked 15 songs in 6 days, and ended up keeping 10 of them.
So what's next for you? I mean, you had at one point plans for grad school during that interim period, and now music sort of got its hooks back into you again. Is that now on permanent hold pending the outflow of this?
Yeah. Well, my real job was at a university, and I was gonna work there and go to grad school and get that professional stuff going. And then this stuff started happening. And so this is the new work. It's been a fun fall so far.
Yeah, the reception seems great for the new album. Going back, I was listening to some of the recordings from Dearmit Edison, and I found it interesting to learn that Justin Vernon had written most of the songs for that band, because listening to the music of Bon Iver now, and Megaphone now, and Field Report now, your music is most closely related to the way that music sounded. What part did you play in that original sound? I mean, it sounded like Justin sort of brought songs to the table and everybody kind of played the songs, but yet, like, the natural evolution of that band seems to be right to you.
That's really interesting. Justin was the primary songwriter for that band. I didn't write songs for that band. I played pedal steel, and I helped, occasionally I'd help Justin with some lyrics, but that was it. I was definitely like a side man in that band, a non-founding member, but it was a really important part of my musical development for sure. And maybe those guys felt the need to separate themselves from that a little more, because they left that project on different terms than I did, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we're the missing piece.
Well, I really appreciate all of you guys stopping and playing for us here at JPR. The new album's fantastic. It's called Field Report. They're live in the studio here at Jefferson Public Radio. Do we have time for one more?
We'd love to. Thank you.
this is the one in which I miraculously pulled out of a free fall dive over Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Yeah, this is the one like 10 years ago that I told you about, where my wings I step in the fall as it gets colder. It's colder.